And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's Tuesday. Time for the Garden Line. Come on, Mike Wiggins, build me up, Buttercup.
I'm playing the drums with my pen over here.
Can you remember what group that is?
No.
The Foundations.
The Foundation.
Yes, I've never heard of. So that must have been their biggest hit.
Another one-hit wonder.
Absolutely.
We're good at that on the Garden Line.
But we used to dance to that song, and oh my gosh. So I was trying to think of flower songs this morning for the Garden Line.
Well, that's great, because the Buttercup, we think of daffodils. And daffodils makes you think of spring, and it's going
in the right direction.
Kind of a reach, but hey, That was great.
That was a kind way of saying, okay.
No, play it again. That was great. Oh my goodness. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. I don't know what to wear anymore. Yesterday it was freezing. Today it's a little warmer. The weather's kind of become a factor, hasn't it, for gardens?
Well, it really has. Of course, this time of year, it's so important that we kind of know what the weather's going to do. And I kind of looked ahead. Now, tomorrow night. We're going to be in the 30s, low 30s.
Again?
At 30, I believe.
Oh, gosh.
On Thursday, 29.
No. Oh, my goodness.
But let me say this. And this is...
These poor plants.
This is a Wiggins prediction.
Okay, I'm ready.
And I looked on my computer. Now, you got to keep in mind, Meg, that my computer is as old as I am. So we have to take that into consideration. But we've got these two freezes this week. Okay. But the rest of the month, temperatures are cool, but there's no freezes. So I jumped ahead to March on my little long-range weather deal that has it by the month. And nowhere in March on this program did it show a freeze.
Oh, that's good news, isn't it?
So if you back up and say, well, we got two freezes this week, could those possibly be the last freezes?
Fingers crossed.
Could it be? Well, I really hope so. Remember, we had what was our little date that we pegged? It was March 27th. That was when it was just 10% chance that we'd even have a frost.
Right.
So maybe March is cool, but maybe there are no freezes. And if there are no freezes, I have a feeling a lot of folks, some including myself, might kind of want to get started with some of our spring planting and planning and things we're going to do. Because there are things we need to do, but there are also things we don't want to do until later in the spring. But that is encouraging that my old computer says there may not be another freeze after Thursday night.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
It'll probably snow 12 inches.
So do we need to cover plants again for this coming up this week, you
think? Well, I've... Totally, yes.
Okay.
I mean, on Thursday, if it's going to be down into 29, yes, if you've been covering some plants with your frost cloth, get it back out because you probably put it up and do it if you want to do that. Now, it's going to be quick, and that's good. You know, it's not going to linger like it did earlier when it was in the 20s and 30s all day long for 3 or 4 days. It's going to be a quick hit. So we may be okay, but... That's kind of the weather, and that's, to me, that's good.
Right.
Maybe that is good news. We will see. Okay, one other thing. I got a nice text from Catherine.
Oh.
Catherine. Because we were talking about the UWF garden tour.
Right.
Of the Camellia Garden at UWF, which is going to be Friday the 23rd. That's this Friday, isn't it? Yeah, this Friday, Sunday, noon to 4, put on at the Camellia, which the Camellia Garden is gorgeous, and this is the time of year to go see it. This is when camellias are blooming. It's a combination of work by the UWF Retired Employees Association and the Pensacola Camellia Club. So you need to go. She texted me because she wanted people to know that they'll be selling camellias at that tour.
Oh, no kidding.
The Pensacola Camellia Club, at their shows, they sell camellias. And usually they're in really nice 3-gallon pots, well-rooted, beautiful plants up in maybe 2-3 feet. Just quality camellias. So if you maybe are interested in buying a camellia, you may want to sneak out there on Sunday and see what they've got. And the camellias they sell are so well labeled as to what it is, how to take care of it. But in any event, thank you, Catherine, for that.
What was the time on that again? It's this Sunday.
This Sunday, noon to 4.
Noon to 4, okay.
Noon to 4 at the UWF Camellia Garden. So be there.
Or be square.
Or be square, exactly. Thank you, man. Okay. One other thing maybe we might want to mention this morning is, and some of this is a repeat, I know, but we need to say it, that if you have not, and if you intend to, spray or put on your yard a pre-emergence to keep the spring weeds from coming up, this is the time to do it. We like middle of February. I would say any time, maybe by this weekend, would be a really good time to do that. And the two chemicals that we generally talk about and have been talking about on the show, one is Dimension, which can be applied by granular in your fertilizer spreader. And the other is atrazine, which I prefer to spray. Another way to get atrazine on for early spring is with a weed and feed fertilizer. But don't do it.
You had mentioned that last week, not to do that yet.
I was in a store the other day, and they had early spring weed and feed fertilizer. It had a great weed killer in it, but it had 29% nitrogen. That is just too much to put on your lawn right now. It's really wasted. It really is. So don't do that.
Okay.
But either put Dimension on by granular or maybe atrazine if you're inclined to spray. So that's what I would do.
Well, we've got a question along those lines from one of our listeners on the text line. What if the weeds have already emerged?
Well, some have, some haven't.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I looked kind of through the neighborhood, walked into the neighborhood, and saw three of our bad actors.
Uh-oh.
You ready? Florida betony has a little serrated leaf. It's called a rattlesnake weed.
Ooh.
If you dig it up, it's got a root on it. It's like a rattlesnake, rattler. Poana is out. Poana, another name for that is annual bluegrass. And the other one is a purple violet. That's one that's in many yards right now. So those are bad actors. This pre-emergent is not going to help with that. But generally, those three, which are very prevalent, when the hot weather comes, they'll go away. Let's pursue that in just a second.
All right.
Let's take a break. Let's step aside a minute.
All right.
And then when we come back, we'll hit that.
Okay. You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and The Garden Line with our expert, Mike Wiggins. Lots of questions coming in. If you have a question about weeds and gardening today, 850-437-1620. But let's get back to what we were just talking about before the break.
Yes. We were talking about putting on the pre-emergence weed control.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. But we've got a few questions.
And they're all weed-related.
The
okay.
They're weed-related. Let's see what we can say about those. Then we'll go back and cover a few things I've got on my mind.
Okay. Daniel texts in, Mike, vinegar appears to be an effective weed killer. Is there a downside to using it? It says, thanks, enjoy the show. I'm sorry, it's Dan and Molino.
Yeah.
Dan and Molino.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. You look on the internet, and vinegar does everything but cure the common cold.
Just
it may
about.
Do that. I mean, it really does. I don't really see a downside. I don't believe at this point that it would damage your good grass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're using this as just to control a weed that is not in your lawn, oh, go for it. But if you, I would experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I would get some small area, use it to see if it can kill the weeds and not damage the grass. That's what I would do. But yeah, vinegar is an interesting deal in horticulture.
Interesting.
A lot of people are looking for organic chemicals, if you will, and that's one of them that people, a lot of people are using.
Very exactly. interesting.
So
well,
let's try that.
Okay.
And please, let us know.
Okay.
Let us know how it works in your yard. That would be interesting
All right.
to know.
Thank you, Dan and Molino, for sending that in. Now we got another question that's weed related. This is from Michael Taylor. Michael says, what is that weed that shows up that dies and becomes little stickers, little clumps of green that drive dogs crazy?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're talking about this one, but and this is when we talk about this pre-emergence weed killer, that would help with this situation if you did it in a very timely manner. If it's a sand spur, because how to get rid of sand spurs, they're not easy. They're not easy at all. But sometimes the pre-emergence will help with that population. There's also the weed, and I can't bring it to mind right now, the one where you walk through your yard and it all sticks to your
mm-hmm,
pants.
Those little green stickies. exactly what you're talking about.
Green stickies is
yes.
good.
Yes. There's those little teeny tiny, and they
yeah,
stick
exactly.
to you.
But yes, your pre-emergence should certainly help control that. What you've got to remember about these pre-emergence weed killers is they are far from perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They are far from perfect. They will help control some because, remember, it's always, I always kind of hate to say this because it's kind of obvious, but the best weed control we have is a lush lawn. That kind of crowds out the weeds. The weeds are going to find a place that's weak.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you scalp your yard and it kind of opens it up, they will jump right in to those bare areas and produce.
Hmm.
So get that lush lawn, mow it high, fertilize it right, water it right, do all of those things. And I think your weed population is going to be down. But if you've got a real weed problem, pre-emergence is the way to go.
Okay, we got another question on the text line. And if you have a question, just text it into Pep Talk Garden Line at 850-437-1620. This question, Mike, should we wait until after the storm this week to apply the granular pre-emergence?
I would. What you want to do with a pre-emergence is water it in. But if we're going to have an inch or two of rain, it could just wash it away. So I would say no. I would wait till the weekend. I mean, I think by Friday we're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would delay. I wouldn't do it because even though you want to water it in, you don't want
to wash it out.
To wash
right?
it away. So I think I would wait. That's a great question. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, thank you for texting that in. And if you have a question, 850-437-1620. That's what this show is all about, the Garden Line, and you know, tasking our expert here, Mike Wiggins, with gardening questions.
Very good. Let me just say one other thing. We talked about the pre-emergence and the dimension and the atrazine. Very important. You got to remember one thing. There are three types of weeds in the world. There's grassy weeds, like a crabgrass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a broadleaf weed, like a dollar weed. Then there's a sedge, which we have a lot of that. It's called nut sedge. We have that in Pensacola, which really takes a different chemical. If you've got nut sedge, it has a
What does it look like?
Oh, there's a great way to tell. It's small growing weed, very stiff. But if you clip it off and take the stem of the sedge and rub it between your finger and your thumb, it's triangular.
Oh.
It's the only weed, most weeds, grassy weeds are round,
mm-hmm.
but it's triangular. So that's when you use a product called Image. And it's a little early to use that. But going back, you've got the pre-emergence and then the post-emergence. Pre-emergence we've talked about this morning. It's time to do it. A lot of people will look at those weeds that we got the nice text a minute ago about, I've already got some of the weeds that are up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got the Florida betony or the poana, or annual bluegrass, you don't want to go out there with a post-emergence. Post-emergence kills a weed that is there. You don't want to do that because the lawn is still relatively dormant. And you start putting those post-emergence chemicals on your lawn, you can damage the lawn a lot. That lawn needs to be out of dormancy. Maybe April and May would be a better time to do that. However, the three bad actors I talked about, we get into May and the grass is really starting to grow and it's lush, the heat's going to get them. the heat's going to take care of them, and you don't really have to worry about those anymore. What you will be worried about then is your broadleaf weeds. If you have a, in the late spring, and you have a weed that's blooming, that generally can be classified as a broadleaf weed. Grassy weeds don't generally bloom. Broadleaf weeds do. But you'll know if you've got dollarweed or Virginia buttonweed, which has a little white blossom on it, you'll know. And that's what you can deal with in April and May. So you've got pre-emergence, you've got post-emergence, which is much too early for, and that's kind of what you got to consider. When we come back, we need to talk about being a weed killer being selective or non-selective.
Okay, don't go away.
You're on pins and needles.
Pins and needles. It's Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. It's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I've got a question for Mike. We are talking a lot about weeds and getting your garden ready this time of year and the weather. So if you have a question, 850-437-1620, then just text that in and we'll do our best to get to you.
Right. And to finish up our little weed discussion, there are weed killers that are selective and are non-selective. Your pre-emergence that you put on and the post-emergence that you're going to put on are both selective. They will kill weeds, but they will not kill your grass. That means they're selective. The non-selective is one product we all are familiar with, Roundup. Roundup will kill everything. It is non-selective. Now, we have said this many times. Roundup has changed its formulation. If you remember, the original Roundup contained a chemical called glyphosate. And I don't want to say hundreds, I don't know that, but so many lawsuits because they said it made people sick. And so they changed the formulation. But it's still a non-selective, kill-it-all type product. For example, if you've got a flower bed, and all these winter weeds are coming up, many of which would die in the heat. But you want to get rid of all of that. Even though it's not warm, that's the best time to use Roundup. If we have some 70-degree days, if you sprayed on those, it would probably kill them and clean up the weeds in your flower bed. But watch the temperatures. If it's freezing, you don't want to use it. You're wasting your money. But that is a non-selective herbicide, which has its uses, but I always tell people, read the label, be sure it's for you. Be sure you're comfortable with it. And if you do use it, remember, goggles, hats, long sleeve shirts, long pants,
gloves,
shoes with socks, gloves, just really for any weed killer, I would suggest that. And you've got to be so careful with the non-selective. You never want to do it on a windy day.
Oh, gosh, no.
Because the mist will go to your good plants, and you can just kiss them goodbye if you get it on there. So wait till the warmer day, no wind, you're dressed for the part, and you can do it. You can buy that stuff now in a ready-to-use, so you don't have to mix it. And to me, that makes it even safer. Scott, do you buy the Roundup? It's in a jar. It's got a wand already there, and you just kind of go out and spray it, and you don't have to mix it yourself.
Okay.
So that's a plus. So that's a non-selective weed killer that you may want to consider.
All right. Well, we've got way more to talk about for the next half hour with Mike Wiggins on The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a break at this half hour and listen to the news, and then we'll be back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Mike Wiggins is here today. We've been talking a lot about weeds. You said you had one more
that I'll be quiet about, the weeds, because it's just that time of year to talk about this. If your lawn is like mine, you can see some of the green coming up, and, of course, some of the winter weeds are coming up, and you have a temptation to mow it. Well, that's fine. It's probably a good idea, but do not lower that lawnmower trying to get some of those winter weeds up. Keep that lawnmower at 4 inches. If you've got St. Augustine, for example, you're not going to cut off much, but you will cut off some of the weeds, some of the blossoms on the weeds, and collect them. You'll read a lot of literature, some of it from the state, that says, no. Let all your clippings go back into the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I think if the weed is there and you're going to get it with the lawnmower, collect it, throw it in the trash, because that will lower your population of weeds in your yard. So
okay, well,
that's really important.
Well, we do have some folks that have texted in, and if you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620, and you mentioned St. Augustine, and we had a question from Mark. He said, best fertilizer right now for St. Augustine.
Great question. And the best fertilizer to put on your St. Augustine right now is no fertilizer.
Okay. That's easy.
That's easy enough. And so you just don't want to do it too early. That's why we don't use the weed and feed fertilizer. It's just got too much nitrogen in it. The fertilizer that we use for St. Augustine, well, really St. Augustine, Zoysia, and Centipede, I like a 1608 or a 2244. That first number is nitrogen, which is really going to get that lawn going, but it's too early to put it on. I would wait until April, let's get through March, wait till April. Some of the state literature is even telling you to wait till May.
Wow.
And depending if we have a cool spring,
mm-hmm.
that might work too, because you want that grass to be out of dormancy and able to take up the fertilizer. Also, the fertilizer you're going to use has to have a couple of ingredients. One, check the label. This, you're going to pay a little bit more for this. A good granular fertilizer, a fertilizer that has iron in it, a fertilizer that has some other minor elements in it. They're minor because they're small amounts, but they're just as important. So that's the fertilizer to use. Now, be real careful. You just don't do it too early. Because if you put it on now, it with that iron,
mm-hmm.
the iron is not going to be absorbed by the grass. The nitrogen you put on there may make the grass kind of perk up. But then, with no iron, it's going to turn yellow.
Oh, no.
You're going to have these canary yellow spots in your yard, which will generally be okay, but it's very unsightly. And many times, it's a result of putting too much nitrogen and iron on too early. So don't do that. But Now, we all have, I agree. I want to do it tomorrow.
We're ready.
Tomorrow.
Ready to get started.
Exactly. But don't forget, and don't forget your watering, too. It's too early for fertilizer, but if we should dry up, even March, get that sprinkler system going again. That's important.
Okay, we got another question for you, Mike.
Sure.
Is there a way to prevent Poa annua next year? I put pre-emergence down in the fall, but still have a yard of Poa annua growing nicely this year. And that's from Steve on Escambia Bay.
Yeah, Steve, I don't really have another way. You did the right thing putting out that fall pre-emergence to keep some of those, what I call winter weeds, from coming up. And Poa annua is it's really a curse. Just hard to prevent. However, Poa annua, of all the weeds we get, is probably one of the first to be controlled by the heat. When we get into March, April, and May, it'll generally go away, especially if the rest of your lawn is in good shape. So I think probably right now, a waiting game might be the best thing to do, because Poa annua is stubborn insofar as coming back year after year. You know, Meg, it's so funny, what's a weed and what's not a weed. Poa annua is used in some parts of the country on golf courses.
Really?
Yeah, on greens.
Interesting.
Because it's such pretty grass. But here, it's an absolute weed. A quick story. I went to a fertilizer convention, believe it or not.
I'm telling, would be interesting.
I'm telling the truth. This is a true story. And it was in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm in Las Vegas. I got a room that's kind of on the bottom floor, and out in the courtyard, small courtyard, right outside of our room, was a little turf area.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what the turf was? dollar weed.
Uh-uh.
It was what it was supposed to be. Dollar weed had been cultivated to be the ground cover outside the room. So a weed is really a plant that's in a spot where you don't want it. that's really what it is. And so it's a major problem in Pensacola. There's no doubt about it with our climate. But with our chemicals and keeping the lawns lush, it's probably the best strategy we've got.
All right. We got another question for you. They're coming in now. Oh, fast and furious.
No more stories about Las Vegas.
Okay. Our bottle brush bushes are 7 to 8 feet tall and have been very healthy. Since the cold weather, they are very brown and sad looking. Will they survive? What do I need to do to help them?
Well, let me tell you a story about that, about bottle brush. One of my favorite plants. It's got that, obviously we know why it's named. It's got that red blossom. It looks like an old bottle brush you would clean a test tube out in a laboratory. But here's the story. I look out the studio window here at 1620, and there's a beautiful, I follow it all the time, bottle brush. It is brown as a berry right now and looks very, very sad.
Mm.
Here's what I would do and what I would not do. I would not prune it now, although I know you want to. Don't do it. Wait till we get late March. Then kind of do the test where you kind of scratch the bark. And if it's still brown, the bark, where you scratch it, you can prune down. Scratch it again a little bit lower and kind of keep pruning. I'm hoping it's going to come back. This one out by the studio is, I would hate to say it, but I'm going to say doubtful. Mm. Because it really has no good growth left on it. All the leaves are still attached. And it looks pretty rough. I hope yours does better. But do that. Just resist from pruning it back. And that's the best we can do.
That's all you can do for right
now. And that applies to a lot of plants. You know, so many of our plants took the hit from the cold. And that's what to do, is not to prune it back. We've talked a lot about that on the Garden Spot insofar as citrus is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Citrus doesn't need a lot of pruning anyway in a normal year. But if it got knocked back, mainly when it went below 20, that's kind of the cutoff point where citrus really gets damaged. And the same principle, just wait a little bit, see what's going to come back, scratch that bark, and then we go from there.
Okay. All right. This is Pensacola's Expert Panel with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Text in a question, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We got a couple more questions I want to try to get in here, Mike. So when should I start to restart my sprinklers for normal operations?
Great question. We're really kind of on the edge here. We can dry up in the spring. I would say get through this week, through the freeze and all of that. We're going to have a lot of rain. Is it tonight?
I'm not sure.
Into Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. I think so. That'll be good. Here's what I would do. I would enjoy this rain, because I think it's going to be an inch or so. Next week, I would start watching the weather. If it goes 4 or 5 days with no rain and there's no hope for rain, I would start it. But I would do it manually. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't set it on what I like to recommend as we really get into the late spring and early summer, is 3 times a week, 30 minutes per zone. That's setting it up on a standard. But for the next month or so, watch the weather, and if it looks like there's no rain for 3 or 4 days and no hope of rain the next couple of days after that, go ahead and run it. Just run it your 30 minutes. And so we've kind of got to do it all manually. Now, if you just don't have the time to do that, as I get into March, you could probably go ahead and set it for our 3 days a week. Then you wouldn't have to do it manually, but you might want to go cut it off
if it's
a good rain. So we got to kind of play it by ear, but it is so important, so important. I believe, and I may be wrong here, I believe the snow kind of helped our lawns.
Really?
Well, I looked at it, you know, I'm like everybody else. What did I have, 6 to 8 inches mm-hmm. in my front yard on my St. Augustine lawn? Well, it all melted and went down into the roots of the mm-hmm. of the grass. And I'm not convinced that that didn't help.
Interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how we do this spring. If one, there's any damage from some of that cold, I don't think there will be, but like I say, below 20, you get dicey. But I'm not sure that that snow didn't help. That's a crazy, crazy thing to say. But
we'll see.
It might
we'll
be
see.
Worth
it. Yeah.
We'll see. I look forward to checking that.
Okay. Got two more weed questions for you.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
Is there a way to get rid of dollar weed?
Okay, dollar weed is great. Remember we talked about the different weeds, grassy weeds, broadleaf weeds, and sedges. Well, broadleaf weed, the worst actor in the world is dollar weed. If you live in Gulf Breeze, I've always said, if we could feed the third world with dollar weed,
oh my goodness,
we would be rich. But the dollar weed, you want to use a selective weed killer. Want to wait. Remember, we want to wait till the grass comes more out of dormancy. We don't want to spray it today because you can damage the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I like to recommend Trimec, T-R-I-M-E-C. It's a liquid. It's a liquid that you mix in your sprayer. I like to put it in a pump-up sprayer. That way you can kind of isolate it. Because remember, on the garden line, we sort of live with integrated pest management. You don't want to put it in a sprayer that's just going to spray the whole lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Do it where you can isolate it on those dollar weed, that Trimec. Mix it just like it says. We've always said on the garden line, and it's kind of stupid, but you don't want to double up. Like, you know,
more is not necessarily better.
Like playing poker. You don't want right. to double up to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
That can really damage the lawn. Look at that label. Sometimes it's a tablespoonful per gallon. Read it. See what it says. And be sure that the Trimec you buy or the weed killer that you buy has it labeled for the grass that you have, St. Augustine or centipede. Because as I said, I think I said it last week, some of these weed killers on the label, small letters will say, good for dollar weed.
Mm-hmm.
Do not use on St. Augustine grass. It
read the label.
So read that label. It's nobody wants to curl up with that label and read it, but you kind of have to do it to protect your lawn. But I would wait on spraying and spray with Trimec, and that's generally your best bet for dollar weed.
Okay. Well, you basically answered the next question. Is there anything I can put down on the weed control in my lawn right now?
Well, it's a pre-emergence.
Yep, the pre-emergence.
Pre-emergence. And think about that atrazine. Even though it's a pain in the neck to mix it up, I kind of think it's going to do a little bit more control on more weeds. That's just from experience. So that's a good thing to do right now. But the selective post-emergence stuff is not going to do until we kind of get out of dormancy.
If you've been listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins and you've forgot to get your notepad out to take notes on all of these great tips and advice, you can re-listen to this podcast, which will be on our newsradio923.com podcast page. You just click on podcast, click on The Garden Line. And we have a special section just for Mike, and then you can re-listen to it and take notes there. So, and if you have a question, 850-437-1620.
Very good. One thing I did want to mention, this is a whole new subject. If you are going to put out grass seed, okay, for some reason you've got, you want to put out ryegrass. I wouldn't do it if you're going to do it to make your lawn green. It's kind of getting late in the season, and the heat's going to take care of it. But some people have done some construction,
mm-hmm.
have slopes, have erosion. You could put ryegrass out right now, and that would hold the land. What you don't want to do, this goes back to the weeds again, is have used a pre-emergence weed control in the area where you want to put that ryegrass.
Oh, okay.
Because remember what pre-emergence weed controls do, they keep seeds from germinating. They will keep a ryegrass seed from germinating just like it would keep a crabgrass from germinating. So those two don't mix. Those two don't mix. And it is a little late, I think, just because it's taking the heat's going to come sooner than we think. And if you put ryegrass in your lawn for it to turn green, on say on a level plane,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to last long. Probably not worth your money to do that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins as we wrap things up this morning, talking a lot about weeds and taking care of lawns and what we can do right now.
Right. We had a call last week about wasps.
Yes, wasps and bees.
Wasps. Not too much to say about that, except they're here they are. You know, here we're going in the spring. Here they are. Be careful. They'll set their nests inside. For example, I've got some large hollies, and I have to prune and reach in there. They'll set those nests inside those hollies sometime. You got to be so careful. You'll walk through and start pruning, and they'll just flutter all out. And they're dangerous. They are very dangerous. They can put you in the hospital. So be so, so careful. If you're going to do that pruning and such, wear a long sleeve shirt and gloves so you don't get zapped. One thing, if you see where they have built their nest, there's a product called Wasp and Hornet Killer. It's a jet spray.
Oh.
It's an aerosol, but you hit the aerosol, and it sends a jet spray out, oh, maybe 10 feet, so you don't have to get right up to the wasp's nest to do it. And late in the afternoon is supposedly the time when one should do that, because that's when they've returned to the nest.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's kind of the wasp story. Just be careful, because they really, you know, it's unpredictable where they are, and you sure don't want to get mixed up with them.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
Exactly. Okay. One other thing I wanted to mention about talking about grass. This is not weeds. This is about grass. A lot of people are going to find they may have some bare spots. It always happens, especially with centipede. And you want to put out grass seed. And a lot of people want to put out centipede grass seed. Well, we don't have time this morning to talk about how to do that. And that's probably okay, because I just wanted to stress that it's not time to do that.
Okay.
You do not want to sow in those bare spots with centipede seed or any other grass seed, in my opinion, until at least probably May. May 1st would be a good time, because the soil has got to warm up for those grass seeds to germinate.
Oh, that makes sense.
So it's real important. A lot of people, you know, like me, I get antsy. I want to do these things. But if you're going to put out grass seed, kind of hold on. And one thing I wanted to ask the audience, because I don't know about this, I've never used it before, I got some literature about zoysia grass seed. The trade name was Zenith.
Interesting.
Zenith grass seed. So if you're listening and you've ever used zoysia grass seed, Zenith, next week, call us and let us know. We'd like to talk about it.
All right.
But it's been fun, Meg. Thank you very much.
You're so good. I'm telling you, the man knows everything about gardening on the Garden Line. Mike Wiggins, it's such a pleasure to have you here. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And again, you can re-listen to this show on our podcast or on Saturday mornings as well. And you can go to our website. We've got news up next. Have a great day.